At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, and welcome back. My name is Jack Register, and I am your host for Finding the Zen Within, an anger management podcast. Our podcast is not therapy and is designed to be a skill-building educational resource. If you're finding yourself struggling with issues of anger and the consequences of that, reaching out to places like Therapy Den or Open Path or Psychology Today to find practitioners who can help you is always an option. And as we've always said, if you're having thoughts of harming yourself or someone else, please reach out to the National Suicide Hotline. It's a text message at 988. So today I want to talk about the idea of ideological anger, or sometimes some people might even feel like this is righteous anger. And what I mean by this is ideological anger grows out of the idea that my sense of the world or my sense of a particular issue or area is absolutely correct. And my response to others who disagree with me is also absolutely correct. Many of us have ideological issues around our faith perspective or perhaps how we grew up. So for example, I grew up in the military with my parents being military veterans. And so for us, the whole military culture was a part of our household as much as what we were having for dinner on Tuesdays or what kind of china we would use. Because it influenced so much of the culture of my family. And ideological anger can take us from zero to unreasonable very quickly. And it's because ideologies become a part of our identity. And so we have a really hard time as human beings questioning our ideologies. Most of us might really understand this from the perspective of, if you were the person in your family who challenged the status quo, or you were the person in your family who was different from everyone else, and you were not following what others wanted of you, then the ideologies of your family were absolutely clear. For most of us, we don't even realize that we have these ideologies until they're challenged. And when they get challenged, again, we go from zero to unreasonable pretty quickly. So in this season of elections, in this season of change, politically, it's really important to understand that ideologies are not our personality, but a set of understanding of beliefs that come from our experiences. Most of us struggle, again, when these ideologies are challenged with data that might help us to understand that perhaps what we thought or understood is not correct. So, something I wanted to offer as a perspective. I am someone who my grandfather would say has a little bit more snow on the roof, which means I'm a little grayer than the average person. And I have been around for a bit, and I'm now in my early 50s. So because of that, there were things that I believed about the world when I was a teenager in my 20s and so on that I no longer believe today. I grew up in a world that didn't have the internet, that didn't have technology as a major part of my day-to-day experience. And so because of that, my universe of influence, or what I mean by that is we say that in psychology a lot, that means the people who were directly influential in my sense of self on a day-to-day basis. My universe of influence was very small. So when I was comparing myself and what shoes I was wearing or all those things that happened for young teenagers and then young adults happened within people who lived within a geographic distance of me, maybe 50 or 60 miles at most. Youth today live with the entire planet as their universe of influence, which means if they grow up in a situation, if they hear or understand something about the world from their family, and then as they are in their social world in school and in their social world bigger than that through the internet, realize that that's not the way that other folks might see it, they immediately get challenged with these ideologies much quicker. So one of the joys about watching folks behind me generationally is to see how quickly they are challenging status quo ideas and saying that these no longer work, or that these ideas are discriminatory to a particular group, and watching how folks are deconstructing the stuff that I consider to be pillars of normalcy, quote unquote. That doesn't mean that my world is disappearing. What it means is my world is shifting to better meet the needs of the people who are now in it. Whether we like it or not, we live in a tech-based age, and technology means access to information that may have not been there before. Not allowing or choosing not to participate in a technology revolution means that you end up getting left behind. And there is fear in change, absolutely. And that fear can make us feel like we don't know where we fit or how we're supposed to be. That fear can also lead to anger when we actually expect others to live as the way that we do. So much of this election cycle has really been about ideologies that are being shared of two very different versions of the future, knowing that these two are not the only perspectives that are out there in politics. And regardless of whether you're left or whether you're right or in between or whatever your philosophy of political persuasion is, what I want you to take from this is that our ideologies of belief lead us to struggle with anger that becomes unreasonable. And when this unreasonable anger gets to an extreme, we may actually even engage in political violence and feel like we're completely justified for that. As we've talked about throughout the podcast, anger and anger's responses are not about the other people, they're about us. And we are responsible for our anger, even if we feel like it's justified. So I want to offer you a quick sort of tool that I use myself, because again, I have struggled with anger my entire adult life. The Incredible Hulk and I are good friends, and I have gone to unreasonable spaces and really done things to harm relationships and to not be present to people I care about because my anger got the best of me. And so what this little tool is to ask yourself, if I was on the receiving end of what I just did, how would I feel? For me, whenever I get angry, I get really big personality-wise. My voice gets really loud. My face turns bright red, and my hands are up, and I'm moving them, and I'm talking with them, and I look larger than life and can become quite imposing. I'm not a small man, so that means then that I actually take up a lot of space. And for folks who are smaller than me in stature, that might actually intimidate them quite a bit. And I've been told by people that my anger is quite frightening. So when I am on the other side of that, if I have been on the receiving end of that, and I have, I remember what it feels like to be frightened. And I remember what it feels like to not know what to do with this person's stuff. And so I try super hard. I'm not always successful at it. But I try super hard to be present when my anger gets the best of me. And like everyone else, I have my own political beliefs and ideologies about the world and the way I really wish things would be. And if I had all the power in the universe and could be Thanos for a moment, I'd snap my fingers and make things be the way that I'd want them to be. But I'm not. And that's not my responsibility because I'm not the divine. It's my job to learn how to live with other humans, even if I disagree with them, and find ways of being present to the needs of our world. And so as we think about what do we do with this kind of anger when it really gets heated up, is to challenge ourselves. Do I need to respond with a life and death response right now? Because if it's a life and death response, am I really the right person to respond? And if I feel like my life is in danger, anger may not necessarily be the way that I would respond to it. I would respond with going the other direction and moving myself out of the situation. So when I'm discussing something with someone and they believe something completely different than I do, and their way of seeing the world is completely different than the way that I do, that doesn't mean that either one of us are right or either one of us are wrong. It is a perspective. It's when action shows up that things start to have meaning. Because when we put actions to our ideologies, it then becomes public policy, it becomes law, it becomes something that other people who are receiving the action then remember as intent. And so, as we talked about around the issues of how anger and anger management really show up and manifest, we can give ourselves permission that if I'm in a space right now where I am feeling righteously indignant about something and I am ready to just go to war over this, knowing that go to war means casualties, collateral damage, broken relationships, and potentially a change in my circumstances, because if my response is extreme, I may end up with legal issues because of the way that I've responded. And to ask yourself if that's okay. And doing that gives you a potential way of understanding what to do. The other thing about this ideological anger is to really understand that these become our core values. Our ideology is built out of what are the things that are the most important to us. And for many of us, we may have never really spent the time to deconstruct our value system or to really understand what is important to us. And we may not understand the why we're responding to something the way that we are. So another tool that I would give you is the question of what is it that sets your heart or your passions on fire the quickest? What are the things you become the most unreasonable about? So, for example, for me, harming vulnerable people, knowing that women and children may not get what they need, or war zones where women and children are sacrificed, are things that are just non-tenable conversations for me. I do not have the capacity to be polite, and I will immediately move into a very difficult space. So when I'm faced with those experiences, I actually have to pull back and say, this is not a place that I can show up. I would like to have a different conversation or find a different way to dialogue about this perspective. Ideological anger can, in some ways, be our legacy. If we are someone who is a civil rights icon or someone who has done something because our ideology pushed us, it becomes a motivating energy. So, friends, I ask you, what is your motivating energy? What is your legacy whenever you get to that space? I want folks to know about me that I'm someone who may have struggled with anger, but I was never consumed by it. And I worked hard in much of my life to help bring peace to others so that they could learn not to be consumed by it as well. Really appreciate your time and attention today. Be well, my friends.